Welcome in for another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast. Let me give you guys the movie list for the month of November. We are going to do Head of State. That review's coming up in just a bit. Next week is going to be Cool. Exit Wounds is going to be the third Tuesday of the month. And the final podcast of the month is going to be Ghost Rider starring Nicolas Cage. So we've got a fun month planned. Be sure to subscribe, share this with a friend, do all that stuff that podcasters ask you to do. Really happy to review this movie. And I want to remind you guys, if you haven't already, to go out and vote. If you are listening to this, at least on its original release date, it is a Tuesday. It is Election Day. All right, enough of me. Let's get to this review of Head of State.
Welcome into another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. The only rule is that we must watch a movie rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. B-Dub, Rob left us all of October, said, Carrington, you are on your own. I don't watch any scary movie. This is the first movie review Rob has
done in
a month and a half. Rob, you're back, man. Do you remember how to do this podcast?
I'm pretty sure you just talk about movies, so I should be good. But you were like, hey, let's do, Ghost and all this stuff. I'm like, I'm good. I'll sit down.
He tapped out.
Rob didn't do one single movie. Rob is out. Back this month. We got B-Dub the Voice, a.k.a. Barry White. We are doing Head of State for Election Tuesday. This was my first time seeing this. Have you guys seen Head of State?
I had never seen Head of State before, other than like little snippets, because I wanted to find out where a particular meme is that we'll talk about probably a little bit later, where it came from.
I'm stunned. I'm the only person that has seen this movie. I was probably like 13, 14. It was PG-13. It was like, oh, I'm old enough to do the movie. It's one of those Friday nights your parents drop you off the theater, and that's just what you do as a 14-year-old. And this was the movie before loitering in the lobby of the local movie theater.
All right. Well, this movie, it was released on March 28th of 2003. It has a runtime of 95 minutes, had a budget of $35 million. In the box office, it did $38.6 million, so not a big success. Mm-mm. Where did $35 million go at for this movie? This movie is a $10 million movie.
If that, I was thinking about $4.99, right? $35 million?
Yeah.
Outside of the clothes and the jewelry, where are the rest of us going?
See, I actually have this down as a note. It had to be, this movie had two megastars and a bunch of who else? Like the love interest, I don't know who that is.
Oh, Tamela Jones.
Tamela Jones is a baddie.
There might be a Two Americas woman.
Definitely a Two Americas.
I have no idea who she was.
Oh, yeah.
Bernie Mac is probably expensive. Chris Rock's probably expensive. They had to get that Nelly song at the peak of Nelly powers to get that song. I mean, that's probably where the money went, those things.
Yeah, the music in this movie felt like Def Jam was like trying to push certain singles. Because we heard that Jay-Z, O3, Bonnie and Clyde, we heard that song at least four times. I was like, man, you're not tricking me here.
And then DMX over and over. You know actually who did the music score for the movie? DJ Quick.
Okay. So, it's starting to make a little bit more sense. So
yeah,
now.
When I saw that, I was looking through the credits at the end. I was like, David Blake. Oh, straight DJ Quick did the music. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense.
That does make sense. This movie is rated a 5.5 on IMDb. You can watch this movie on Paramount Plus. Everybody watch this on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus.
Okay, just making sure, because I know sometimes people
get
the bootleg version.
Yeah,
with
sometimes
the commercials.
It'll be on Hulu, but then they'll watch it on Tubi. Like, why didn't you just turn on Hulu? And you could have watched this. This movie came out March 28th of 2003. The top five that weekend, Head of State debuted at number one at $13.5 million. Bringing Down the House was number two that weekend at 12.4. The Core was number three with $12 million. Basic was number four with 11, and Chicago, $7.4 million. This is a weak 2003 box office. I've never heard of half of these movies before.
Not a lot of heavy hitters that weekend at all.
You said it's March? That is your post- You're out of the Oscar season movies and you haven't hit the summer blockbusters yet. Not really prime time to go to the theaters. Like, have you ever been like, man, I want to watch this NCAA tournament game, but there's this movie I got to see. That's not a thing that has ever happened.
Yeah, you got to go see Head of State. So the cast, Chris Rock is Maze Gillum. He is the main character. He is the alderman. Bernie Mac is Mitch Gillum. He is the older brother of Maze. Dylan Baker is Martin Geller. Nick Searcy, he is Brian Lewis. He is the vice president. He is running for president. Lynn Whitfield is Deborah Lassiter. Definitely Two Americas.
Definitely Two Americas.
This was the first time I saw her. It's not crazy. Usually, she's either the mom
or she's trying to kill somebody.
Yeah,
she was trying to, that vein pop out in the middle of her head, and she was trying to kill somebody.
One of the two. Is there anybody who could have played the ex-girlfriend for Chris Rock better than Robin Givens?
She nailed it. Drilled it.
Incredible.
It was perfect.
incredible. Tamela Jones was Lisa Clark. We didn't get enough Tamela Jones in this movie. Not enough Tamela. No, we didn't get nearly enough. And James Rebhorn, he was Senator Bill Arnott. He was the guy who wanted to be president, was trying to wait until 2008 to be president. He was one of the main characters.
He was the same character he was in Independence Day. Right. He's the same person. Right. Like,
he's the shyster, the puppet master.
Definitely who he was.
Greasy politician. Pretty much. If you had told me I knew about the aliens, I'd be like, oh, I know exactly who that guy is.
Let's just go ahead and get this out of the way before we get down the plot of the movie. This movie is better if Bernie Mac is the main character.
Absolutely, 100% without a doubt.
The movie picked up and got better every time Bernie Mac was on the screen.
Yes.
When he is introduced as his half-brother and he gives him the speech, go be yourself, that inevitably had to happen. Then when he adds him later as his running mate, and it's really just 5 minutes of Bernie, go be Bernie Mac.
Yep.
The movie is a classic. We remember the movie a lot better if this movie, if Bernie Mac's trying to be president and Chris Rock comes on as the VP instead of the way the movie plays out.
It was more funnier with Bernie Mac, the zingers, the liners, and just his comedic timing is outstanding. And it makes you appreciate when you go back and be like, dang, you know, I didn't see this when this first came out. This is one that I missed with Bernie Mac because I try to watch all of his stuff, stand-ups, his TV shows, everything. His comedic timing, it makes you appreciate what he did in his time here on Earth, and it also makes you sad that he's not here anymore to give us these type of roles like he did in Soul Man. Soul Man, he was outstanding. Same type. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
I think you're right. Bernie Mac was the highlight of this movie, but I think he's a highlight for what you just said. He's the comedic relief. There's an element of the Chris Rock character that's a straight man. It's got to be like the even keel, steady Eddie. What makes Bernie Mac great in this movie and great in general is he doesn't have to be that guy. He can just be zinger jokes outside that story. It's like, hey, go be you. I mean, he has the what's now a gif where he's walking around slapping everyone in the train station. Those things you can't really do as like having to be the straight man too. So I get what you're saying, but I don't know he could play the straight up part of the Chris Rock role as well as Chris Rock did.
B-Dub, I am curious to get your thoughts on this. Why do we think that Chris Rock never took off to become a movie star? Because almost everybody from that time frame kind of had their movie. You can maybe argue that Steve Harvey didn't, but Cedric the Entertainer is in Barbershop.
Yeah.
Bernie Mac is in Ocean's 11. Eddie Murphy obviously had an incredible movie career. I don't feel like Chris Rock, for as popular of a comedian he was, I don't feel like he ever really took off as an actor. Why is that?
You know, his peak was...
And Martin Lawrence. I forgot another name. Martin Lawrence also had a great movie career.
Great and still going. You know, the latest Bad Boys was outstanding. Yeah. I just don't think his peak... He didn't have the longevity with his peak for whatever reason it was, you know, because he was, what, Saturday Night Live from 92 to 99. His biggest special was Bigger and Blacker that came out in 99. This came out relatively close to that, what, about 3 years, 4 years after that? Then after that, you really didn't see anything from Chris Rock until Top 5 came out. And to me, like, those are the only two movies outside of New Jack City that you really remember Chris Rock from.
I actually like I Think I Love My Wife, but Top 5 is probably Chris Rock's best.
Yeah,
Top 5 is actually underrated. Top 5 is very funny.
I also feel like he got chances, for lack of a better term, and he just got in movies that flopped. Like, remember, he was in, I'm trying to remember, I would Google the name real quick, he was like, it's Down to Earth, where he's the stuck the in the old white guy. Yeah, Angel.
They tried to make him a movie star, just didn't get
that. That was like, they took a big swing there, it just, that movie failed. Like, he was then in this movie, came out 2 years later, to an extent, that movie failed. Like, those were two movies, and then The Longest Yard, he wasn't the star, but like,
he was good in it.
He was really good.
He was good in it, but like, those were like the three big, hey, I'm putting you as like, big studio, you're the guy. He had Down to Earth, he had Head of State, and then he had Longest Yard. And two of those three movies flopped, and even Longest Yard didn't do like, it's not looked back at as one of those classic Adam Sandler, oh, it's so great movies. So like, when he had his moment to like grab that movie, his movie always flopped.
Which is crazy because I would say he become a television star. Like, Everybody Hates Chris is
outstanding.
And is held up really well 20 years later. Yes. Well, I'm not really sure if his movie career has. So we begin Head of State with a serenade from Nate Dogg, and we also meet Maze Gillum, an alderman from Washington, D.C. There is a problem with Miss Pearl and her cat. The cat is stuck inside her old house, and the place is set to blow in 2 minutes. She runs inside to get her cat. Maze runs in after her, and they both make it out in the nick of time before the place blows up. This is where I wanted more kind of Chris Rock pockets, because when he is trying to convince Miss Pearl to run out of the apartment, he's like, he's running through all these things that she's seen in her life. And then he tells her, if those people died, why do you not think you can die in this scenario?
You've seen all these assassinations. You've seen this die. You've seen this person die. They done did what they did to Muhammad Ali. They done made Michael Jackson black. What makes you think they're going to care about your ass? And she had that epiphany, like, okay. Those type of ad-libs like you're talking about when he gets out of pocket, it's great.
Yeah,
that's what you want. That's what you need from him.
But to your point earlier, there wasn't enough of that. Like, right. They were good when they existed. And they were, like, throughout the movie when he's yelling security, I thought it was a really good reoccurring bit. But, like, there's too often where he's trying to be, like, I don't want to say dramatic or serious, but the role called for a little more seriousness, so he didn't get enough of those comedy moments. Because it is hilarious when he's going through that stuff. But it then goes back to, like, a like serious role for a little bit.
While riding and listening to Jay-Z, there's an announcement that two politicians have died in a plane crash, and our man is having some serious woman problems back at home. He really needs to get his shit together. They have a big wig Illuminati meeting in Washington, and they have decided that Maze Gillum is going to be their man to run for president. He's a common man. He's a hero. He is a man for the people. They scoop up Maze to tell him the plan. They want him to run for president of the United States of America. That little bit there, I wish it had gone on a little bit more, where he's like, wait, hold on here.
You want
like,
me to do what?
Yeah, that's the thing that black people do in real life all the time. That like, a white person will tell you something, and you start picking at every single thread of it. Wait, hold on, you're telling me you want me to be the president here? That part was funny.
United States where? Are you serious? and it was ultimate cliche because he lost everything. He lost his girl, Robin Givens crazy, which was turned out to be a great thing. He loses his aldermanship or whatever. He gets evicted from his place. What else could go wrong? The rain clouds falling on him. And then, you know, his bicycle gets ran over. So everything possible that could happen to the man happened to the man. And, you know, it set up the clichéism like, okay, here he is, the woe is me guy, down and out on his luck. We're going to plug him in there because he's a hero and he can save us.
You know what's weird is like, so I watched the movie in like 03, 04. I was like mentioning we're going to the theater. And the idea of like, the black alderman from D.C. being president was like a hilarious notion. Like the movie's funny. Yep. And then in real life, we kind of saw that. I know Obama then elevated from alderman. He like did a couple different things. Senator, I know it was more than that. But like looking back at it, you're like, yeah, this is not an insane notion. A guy who's like a genuinely good dude and connecting with people becomes president. That's not as funny of a bit anymore because we've seen it happen.
And there was a lot of parallels in the movie that, you know, I was watching. I was like, okay, you can see the parallels when he switched his outfits and the hip hop culture became him. You know, he was letting more of himself out, going to the game, throwing out the first pitch, doing this, relating to the people. I ultimately reflected on 2007, 2006 when Obama was making his rounds, NCAA tournament, things that related to me, you know, he was doing, and you could see it in that movie. I'm like, oh, okay, so this wasn't as far-fetched as it actually was.
Yeah, but in 03, you would have been like, this is what an insane thought.
It's crazy. Like, yeah, but I think now, kind of watching it back in hindsight, and now that we have a black person running again, like, this was like a bit in the 90s of, man, they'll never let a black person be president. And then you're right, like, basically, 4 years after this movie, there's a serious candidate that could become president. He won twice.
My daughter, for the first 8 years of her life, there was only a black president in office. She never knew a white president. You know what I'm saying? So that's how crazy it was at that time.
So they have an entire script written up for Maze, but I don't think this plan's going to work. Eventually, they're going to have to let him be himself if he's going to win. In the middle of his first fundraising event, he spots the cutie from the gas station earlier in the movie,
who is now
working as a server. She's got a two-job thing going on and ask her for a dance. Well, now everybody is dancing. This party is happening. The person who is running for president cannot openly be dating. No. That's not how this works.
You're telling me the guy running for president starts hitting on the waitress and it's not the biggest story in the world? We're in a political cycle now where it's like everything said, done, like, oh, can you believe so-and-so got onto the private plane and looked sleepy? It's like a news story right now. Right. But in 2003, Chris Rock is hitting on the catering waitress, and it's like, no one's going to report on this.
And all of a sudden, the electric slide breaks out, and the whole house is doing it. You know what I'm saying?
And I also feel like if a politician was dating in that way, the person he was dating just wouldn't still be doing their regular job. Like, no. You're You were removed from society. Yes. Tamela Jones is not still working at the Quick
Trip 39.
You wouldn't
go to a giant fundraiser and then the next day be back at a fundraiser, but you're serving. That's not how it would work.
You're not handing out lotto tickets and, mm-hmm. and running off Hustle Man outside trying to sell you some T-bone steaks. You know, they pull you out. You're done.
Which song did we hear more, Hot in Here or O3 Bonnie and Clyde?
O3 Bonnie and Clyde.
I think you get more snippets of O3 Bonnie and Clyde, but like pure length, like it's like start to finish. I think Hot in Here might have a longer individual runtime.
I'm telling you, Def Jam was working on this soundtrack. Absolutely. They was out there working. So Maze and the gas station shorty are really hitting things off, but the political party is unhappy with how the party turned out. But the people love it. The X pops back up. Security. This was a funny running bit.
Great bit.
This was hilarious.
Such a great bit.
Loved it.
Every single time. We are off on the campaign trail, and you can see that Maze isn't feeling it. This isn't him. It's not working. He is only up 1 point in the polls. There was like some measures of seriousness that kind of go overlooked in this movie, where at one point Chris Rock says, I could be reading off the recipe to cornbread, and these people would be really excited about it. That there is just the way that political system is set up in our country. If you are on this side or you are on this side, it does not matter what the message is. You just have a built-in base of supporters.
Yeah, and what do they tell us in radio? Like a good program director, when we want to go in and we want to do our show the way we want to do our show, what's the first thing? You know, say, for instance, my boss, Myron Fears, or your boss, Steven Spector, play the hits. Mm-hmm. Play the hits. They don't care about that. Play the hits. And you're like, eh. So that's the way it is in the political word. I got to hit my keywords. I got to make sure my key demographic hears these five things, and they're going to stand up and they're going to clap. And like you said, you could be given the recipe for Gate secret sauce. And, you know, you're like, yeah,
they were going crazy, too. So the campaign reaches Chicago, where we meet May's brother, played by Bernie Mac. His brother gives him the speech that we all are thinking. If you're going to do this, you have to go out there and be yourself. Maze turns off the teleprompter and goes off script and gives a speech for the people. He was great, and he's right. That ain't right.
That ain't right.
This is the part of the movie where Chris Rock is at his best. Mm-hmm. He basically has probably three spots in the movie where he does a stand-up routine.
Yeah.
This is the stand-up routine. Yeah. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. It's packaged a little bit different, but for a couple of times in the movie, they just let Chris Rock not be Maze Gillum. They let him be Chris Rock. And that's when this movie is really, really funny.
And that's to your point we made earlier. I think that's why he never hit the stardom, because it's like his second big movie. He's a giant, like, star in the stand-up comedy world. And there's only three moments where you're letting him be him. Like, think whoever you think the biggest stand-up comedian is right now. It doesn't really matter. If you put them in a movie, it's going to be them doing a version of their stand-up comedy. But you only have three moments like that with Chris Rock in this movie. How is that possible? I don't know if it's the studio, the Rock, but that they let him down in that regard.
Yeah, I also think, though, I mean, like, one of the flaws, like you were just talking, I just thought of this, is, like, I think Kevin Hart has shown, like, really good versatility as his career has grown. Like, he can be in Jumanji. He also can be in Ride Along. That are just two
but
very
at the beginning of his career,
movies.
He was doing a lot.
The same.
A lot.
No, I'm with
a lot
you. Of but
over this
time,
is the early Chris Rock, too. Yeah.
Over time, it's really grown. He was in that movie with Bryan Cranston. He's in that Fight Night series right now on Peacock. I don't know if Kevin Hart had the ability to do that 5 years ago, that he can do it now. I don't know if Chris Rock ever really developed in that way, where this is maybe the only kind of movie, or I Think I Love My Wife, that's, hey, I'm going to do, it's kind of a rom-com, but it's kind of like a relationship commentary where I'm going to bring a lot of my stand-up material and just put it in a long-form movie.
When he's in his bag, that's the best part of the movie. And, you know, that part, the speech in Chicago, and the speech at the very end, when he's in his bag doing his routine, is perfect for him. But I don't think, like we discussed, he has the versatility, and he never gained the versatility, which is kind of depressing, because he was so good in Saturday Night Live for so many years, you know, and stand up. He was never able to get that versatility going on the big screen, which is kind of a letdown.
So Maze finally takes control of his campaign, and it's a drastic turn. Things are really looking up. He's up 15 points. His opponent has finally entered the race, and he's going to battle. Maze decides to play it a little bit differently. The plan is going a little bit too well. He's up 30 points. Maze is a viable candidate, and this is obviously upsetting the party, who didn't want him to win. But Deborah says that she's going to ride it out with Maze. Alex Cabot is coming on strong, but Maze's heart is set on another. We always talk about how movie and comedies have evolved. Alex Cabot's character would never be in a movie today.
Nope.
Not at all. Her only purpose is to try to sleep with Chris Rock.
That's it. That's it. And the parallel is a funny part of her being ADA of one of your favorite shows of SVU. And now she is She's a hoe. That's her hoe. She went to hoe camp. Yeah. She learned how to be a hoe and how to take care, and she can't even give a massage.
Yeah, she can't even do that. I do. I do that with The Wire, and I do that with Law and Order. That when I, that's Alex Cabot from Law and Order. Yep. It was just weird to me see Alex Cabot in like a sexual way. Because for 15 years, she was this super buttoned up character. And now I just know
she's putting away these people.
Yeah, I couldn't
and
do it.
And now she's one.
She was really trying to hook Chris Rock up. I would have.
Hey, so I see that you're not out at the party. is there something that I can do for you?
He didn't want nothing to do with it. So Maze's heart is set on another. He goes to pick up Gas Station Bay from work, and they have an unofficial date one. But date one is interrupted by an issue in Florida. This is going to be a big spot for Maze to deal with. A hot button issue. His competitor is out there doing all the things that politicians do. Mm-hmm. Maze wants to debate, but the VP doesn't have much interest. This is another part where I thought they showed some real life commentary. Mm-hmm. Man, that politician did not give a damn about that situation. No. He was there to give a quick little speech, have his photo op, and he got back on the helicopter.
Hey, when he was talking, it wasn't about the issue. It was about, hey, here's what I'm going to do as president. I'm going to get back on the bus and get the hell out of Dodge.
It's kind of like today. I'm going to stop fentanyl and I'm going to close up the border. I'm like, we're in Missouri. When did we become close to the, yes. But going back real quick before you go further, I thought that was another great part of Chris Rock, the date. He was in his bag giving the tour around D.C. Yeah. Hey, look, there's Abraham Lincoln. But he said, first, before I free the slaves, I need you to build me this big-ass statue. Over here, this is Oprah. That tour was hilarious with Tamela Jones. I thought he was really good in that.
I also think, and maybe this is what we're about to come up on, when he's trying to pester the vice president into the debate was actually also a very, very funny, well-done thing.
You want to know why it was funny? Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac was good. I'm telling you, they only gave Bernie Mac about 5 minutes, but boy, he made the most out of his 5 minutes. He made the most out of it. So the tide is turning now for Maze in a bad way. They got that little clip of him, and the VP is doing what politicians do. He's mudslinging a little bit. Mm-hmm. The public is not feeling Maze. Deborah finally tells Maze the truth. He was chosen to lose. Security. She gets kicked off the bus like Jazz from Fresh Prince.
Security. Again, great bit. They then did to the other girl, which is fantastic.
This campaign is falling apart. No team, no support. Maze goes back to where all men go in his time of need, the love of a good woman. She gives him the talk that he needs to get his head back in the race. One of the members from the campaign wants to come back this time for real to help him win, and it's time to pick a running mate, someone he can trust. So he selects his brother, Mitch Gillum. This stretch right here of Bernie Mac, where he is doing the political car wash, is by far and away the funniest part of the movie. It's so good.
You know NATO? Hell no, I don't know NATO. You know NATO? I don't know what you're talking about. It's the North America. No, I thought you were talking about NATO Jones. Do you know NATO Jones? He was in his bag.
He was so good, man. No, and you mentioned it earlier, just the fact that we don't have Bernie anymore, that like, this is my first time seeing this. So it's like, God, he was just so good. So good. And in a movie with, there's a lot of funny people in this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tracy Morgan is in this movie. Patrice O'Neal is in this movie. Yep. Chris Rock is in this movie. Like,
Mario Joyner.
There are legitimate comedians in this. The fact that Bernie is on the screen for such a short amount of time and by far and away the funniest person in the movie is just a testament to how talented he was.
You could argue he carries the movie. We talked about it earlier. He's just fantastic.
We got robbed of an even greater performance. 100%.
There's so many other movies that we would have got, or he would have been this, like this character would have been Bernie Mac, but we got somebody else that just, no, it wasn't as good. So Mitch and Maze are a great team and the numbers are creeping back up, but they need the VP to agree to do a debate. Their tactic of hounding the man until he agrees. It works. But first, he has to make things right, and he apologizes to Deborah for kicking her off the bus. It's time for the debate, and Maze kills it. He gets an ovation from both sides of the aisle, which probably hasn't happened since September 11th. I can't think of both sides stood up and started clapping for Maze at the end of this.
Since what? Bush threw the ball out at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That's 9-11. Yeah, 9-11. Yeah.
It was a long time ago. So election day is here, and the bus line has been shut down back in Maze's district in D.C. But Maze made a promise, and now he's riding around the city taking people to work. The race is tight. It will likely come down to California or not. So he's the man that wanted Maze to run in the beginning. He's now teaming up with the ops to try to bring Gillum down, but it's not enough. The president is black. My Lambo is blue. And this basically concludes Head of State.
We also get the scene at the end here where the vice president is just inviting everyone into his office to scream at them and yell. So he's just losing his mind.
Well, I don't have any wheels. Somebody give me an SUV. Why am I not doing this?
I don't need a bus. Just give me something.
Right, just give me something.
I will say this, and maybe this is a small nitpick for the movie. It came down to the Republican being voted in California.
Right.
No, you could have put Pennsylvania. Just pick a different state. Yes. You didn't have to California.
Pennsylvania or Texas.
On the West Coast thing where it's like, you got to get leak the word out that he's going to win, and then West Coast polls will change. It shows people sprinting to the polls. Right. I'm like, that. First off, it's not that much of a time difference. It's not like his word leaks out. California's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 9 p.m. in the east. That's first off. But yeah, I did think that was a goofy little thing.
Yeah, and for a movie that the buildup is to Election Day, the whole movie is built
up
to.
The bus thing was kind of cool, but outside the bus element, all of Election Day, it
sucked.
Yeah, we're supposed to have this big crescendo, and like the speech at the end is good. Chris Rock in his bag, but like before that moment, all of Election Day is this was the climax of the movie. Right. It's regular winning.
When he's going out to drive the bus, they really could have got in their bag with Bernie Mac going to get the hose to vote, and then the guy in the ambulance making sure they could have really delved deeper into that.
Really have some
going
fun
to the Teamsters and getting that endorsement on Election Day.
Yeah,
you know that's a missed opportunity.
I'm with you. Yeah, the Teamster thing, I actually would have been perfectly fine where, and this is where movies to me sometimes go a little longer than they should. If the movie ends with the big speech and then it's kind of a flash forward voiceover, and then you get to the song with Nate Dogg again at the end, that's better than how the movie actually ended. Because the last 10 minutes, it just, why did I watch this movie for an hour and 20 minutes if we're not even really focused on the election and who won? It just didn't really make a lot of sense. I did want more Nate Dogg in this movie.
And I was just getting ready to say, that's another thing that makes you appreciate what he brought to music. His ability to sing hooks is missed in today's, you know, hip hop. And seeing him just throughout the show, basically narrating the whole movie in the way only Nate Dogg could do, makes you sit back and be like, you know what? I'm going to go pop in Murder Was the Case real quick. I'm going to go throw the dog pound on that first dog food just so I can hear, you know, some Nate Dogg.
It is crazy. And, you know, you work in music, so you know this, man. So many artists sound like another artist.
Yeah.
That, man, in 30 years, there is not a single person that sounds anything like Nate Dogg.
I remember after he passed and Dre put out a single and it had somebody relatively close to Nate Dogg singing the hook, and that single got just panned big time. No, don't do it. You know, don't even try. Yeah, don't go down that avenue. And, you know, nowadays I can play 10, 14 songs in a row. I'm going to tell you, probably 8 of them sound the same to me, and they're all the same content. You're looking for those, like, back then that stood out, the DJ Quicks, the Nate Dogg, something that brought something to the table to make you really inspired about music, the Kendrick Lamars, the Drakes, you know, something that people bring something different other than, you know, I got DaBaby, Lil Baby, Baby Baby, Baby Baby Baby. I don't even know who sings what now.
No, you're right. Every song now has just 808 trap drums.
Oh, it is.
Every song on the radio.
It's the same thing, or they're yelling, my girl's yelling, Glorilla. You know, at the beginning, I'm like, okay.
I kind of like her. I ain't gonna let you.
I love it. I love it because this past Friday at the Kip High School football game in playoff districts, I had the crowd jumping. I mean, it was Glorilla left and right, Glorilla left and right, and then I had to. In the middle of halftime, I had to take care of my people. You know, the old heads.
You got to play the old school.
I threw that Master P and Young Bleed on. I'm saying the whole bleachers, how you do that there?
So, Rotten Tomatoes, this movie maintains a score of 30% from 120 critics, with the site's critical consensus reading, Head of State squanders its potentially right premise with watered-down satire and formulaic gags. Roger Ebert did like this movie. He gave it 3 out of 4 stars and said, quote, it is an imperfect movie, but not a boring one, and not a movie that is lacking in intelligence. I agree with
that's
that.
That's probably
for the
fair.
Most part. I agree with that.
I was never bored. Doing this podcast a lot, there are times where I'm like, I'll be like, I missed like 30 minutes of the movie. I was playing on my phone. This can't keep my attention. This kept my attention. Now, is it going to win an Oscar? No, but it was fun and enjoyable and did hold me, which is a weird bar, but it cleared that bar.
Yeah, I don't think this movie is incredibly rewatchable. Like we've had some movies on here that I've seen 5-10 times. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is a movie you watch every election cycle, but this isn't a movie that I'm just going to randomly find myself watching in March. I saw it one time, that's enough.
And the biggest thing for me, the biggest takeaway from the movie for me was the GIF from Bernie Mac. You know, just him stepping out on the train and slapping those three people. I'll use that all day long. I may rewatch this movie one more time after, you know, just maybe one. But it, to me, it was a better movie than The Distinguished Gentleman or Dave or something like that. It was kind of like the same premise, just because I think the talk was more real to the people. And the zingers and the one-liners from Bernie Mac and Chris Rock when he was in his bag.
All right, Rob, I'll let you go first here. Give me one thing that the movie got right.
Bernie Mac. I know, I mean, we've talked about it a lot, but I think Bernie Mac was good, but I feel like that's a little hanging fruit. So I'll say one thing the movie got right was I think it does a really good job of explaining, like when he goes from, like, the stuffy politician, Chris Rock, the I'm in a suit, I'm running off the prompter, and it's like the... You're regurgitating the talking points, like letting him be him, like that would connect, like not just like politically, but like we all listen like the radio or like you watch TV, you connect with people who like, oh, that's like a person like that. When Chris Rock made that pivot, that felt very authentic and real, like if that were to happen in real life. So I really think they nailed the going from stuffy, what they want me to being me moment.
For me, and I'm going to dive a little bit deeper. Yeah, of course, I love the Bernie Mac stuff. I love the music. But some of the commentary from 2002, 2003 is very relative to 2024 and what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. Why is some of our drugs so ridiculously high? Cancer drugs, things to fight cancer, diabetes, any of that stuff. You can go around the corner and I can get something much, much cheaper. The gun control. I thought that was dead on, and that was in 2002, 2003. And it's kind of a bad reflection on us as a society that we still haven't gotten it right. It ain't right. I thought some of those were some very key issues. Then I think Chris Rock wrote and directed this whole movie. So I think there was a purpose why he did that. And I appreciated that part. I think they got that part really right on that end.
I'm going to say, I think this movie taps into like a certain cultural aspect that if you're going to make this movie in 03 and it's about a black person being a president, you kind of got to have the people in it that they had in there. Like having Nate Dogg as the first voice that you hear, having so many great black comedians, having so many, you know, this is a really strong cast of black actors during this time frame. I think it's just really culturally relevant.
The music to that point, too. 100%. I know we make fun of hearing that music song all over, but like that was the music of 03. Like it playing something like playing Foo Fighters there wouldn't have worked. It didn't connect the same way.
When he had the FUBU suit on.
It was a lot of those little, like culturally relevant lines that I thought hit really well. What's one thing, B-Dub, that you don't think this movie gets right?
It's too long. I just think, I was just being funny there. One thing I don't think that they got right was not enough Bernie Mac, and they used Chris Rock the wrong way.
I didn't really connect with the love interest story. Like, I felt like it was just kind of jammed in there. Like, I don't think it was like a problem with the acting or anything, but it was like, hey, we met at the gas station, we like each other, and now we bumped into each other at this massive event, and we're going to talk, and then we're going to do the DC tour, and now it all worked out. Like, it felt a little too rushed. Like, either do the really funny political comedy, but don't jam a love story in there. I don't think it kind of fit with what was happening.
Yeah, it seemed to me like her only role in the movie was that one phone conversation where she kind of picks him back up.
But she kind of did the same thing Bernie Mac did, to an extent.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I think... You don't lose anything in the movie if you don't have a love interest. You have maybe one more Robin Givens kind of pop-up security bit. And then you give more. The time that you gave to Tamela Jones, if you had gave it to Bernie Mac. I don't know if you lose. I'm with you. The love interest part, at the end, I'm just like, well, we know they're going to end up together, but she's not really in there enough to make you feel
any
way.
You don't care they're going to be together.
Yeah,
You knew it was coming, but you didn't feel like, oh, that's a nice... Like, it felt like they just jammed a romantic story in there for some rhyme or reason.
You weren't invested in that part at all.
And they never really had, like, a trial. Like, they never really had a, well, you're too busy to be with me because you're running for president. Mm-hmm. Like, their relationship, it was just... We get introduced to her at the gas station. She pops up a couple of times. It's always good. Right. And they end up being together at the end.
You sold me some gas. We did the electric slide. I took you on the tour. Now you're going to be Miss
I had forgotten the one time where she does give like a little pep talk. But that pep talk's the same one we saw from Bernie Mac.
Yeah, it was.
Get your stuff together.
Just a different time in the movie. But yeah.
Yeah, it was the exact same thing. I'm with you. I would go the love interest is something that I think they got wrong. I would have just flipped it to me. The movie is better if Bernie Mac is the lead versus Chris Rock is the lead. I'm trying to think of something else that I maybe could criticize a little bit. I thought the bus story where in the beginning, I see what they tried to do. Like he eventually ended up kind of paying it off at the end of the movie. But I didn't think that was greatly executed.
It was real superficial, about his alder and where he served.
It's paid off. Like they don't get back to it enough in the middle. Like every once in a while, it's like a throwaway line. It's like, watch me like, oh, that bus thing might get worse. Get over here. You're like, okay, well, he just got to really show a commitment to caring about this, or like it paid off in the fact that we heard about it, but not enough.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, this movie is rated a 5.5 on IMDb. B-Dub, is that too much, too little, or just right for Head of State?
5.5. I think that's too much. I would have given it a 4.
Oh, you're going real low on it.
Yeah.
You're going real low. Yeah, I'm not that down on it.
I think it's about right. I think 5.5 is about right. And maybe it's just one of those things where like it's like the pizza reviews where like the one person pops up and they do one. They're like, yeah, this is a 3. It's terrible. I've watched enough bad movies in this podcast to be like, there are some real bad ones that are
there's
3.9, 3.9, 4. Like I mentioned earlier, like it can't hold my attention. And there was I don't even remember the movie. There was a couple of times where I'm like, bro, I'll do the podcast, but I didn't finish. Unwatchable. Like that's not what this was, but it's still flawed. I don't think it's as funny as it could have been.
Right, I agree
because I don't think Chris Rock is like enough funny. I think as much as there are a lot of good black comedic actors, it still fails to like hit like super, super funny compared to other like Barbershop's a very unfair example. Barbershop's loaded with funny black comedians and you're laughing the entire time. This one
Barbershop's also really quotable. This movie's not quotable.
Exactly. It's like there's no moment. I think 5.5 is about right, so that's kind of where I'd get it. Still it never should elevate past a 6.
I want like a Harlem Nights. You got that many talented actors. Yeah, I want to laugh. And that's what I've invested my time for. It's listed as a comedy, and that's why I gave it a 4. I wanted to really laugh.
Funny enough,
I only really laughed when I actually think
top 5 is that movie. The movie you're talking about, I think he eventually brought it back, and obviously the comedic value is a little bit different. Yeah. I think he eventually ended up making that movie with top 5.
Yes.
I think that 5.5 is a little bit too high here, but kind of in the ballpark. I would probably go 5.2, 5.3 is somewhere in the... And I would say the thing that saves it where I would maybe drop it down a little bit more was Bernie.
Yeah.
To me, Bernie is enough to keep this movie in the 5s. Like, if you've never seen this before and you just want to watch somebody just come in and just steal every scene that they are in, two people stole every scene that they were in. Robin Givens stole every scene that she was in, and Bernie Mac. Yes. Those two people were funny in this movie to me.
I mean, those are the highlights, which I feel like a common theme on this podcast, when you talk about it, is we whenever a movie ends up on this podcast, it's because the main star, like tier one, top of the credits, didn't take over the show. And Chris Rock is a megastar, but he's that here. He's not a thing. That's nothing about Chris Rock's performance memorable. Nothing.
No, nothing.
B-Dub, man, we appreciate you coming on, man.
I appreciate the invitation. It's good to see you guys. Haven't seen you in person in a while. I love and appreciate both of you guys kicking butt, the best afternoon show in Kansas City. So you guys keep doing what you do. It's good to see y'all.
Thank you, man. I appreciate this. I want to encourage you guys, if you were listening to this on Tuesday, if you have not voted, to go ahead and vote. I actually found this app today. It is called Did Your Friend Vote. You can type in people's name and their hometown.
That seems like a really bad idea for an app.
I'm about to do that for Rob right now.
Rob, did you get your vote in?
I really voted. I got mine checked off.
I voted last week. So next week, the movie is going to be Be Cool. We're going to do Be Cool for next week's movie. I've not seen that in quite some time, but Be Cool is going to be our movie next week. B-Dub, Rob, appreciate you, Rob. Happy that you're back on our podcast, man. Thanks a lot.
I really enjoy being a part-time employee on my own podcast. It's great.
I appreciate you guys. Keep it right here. You're listening to the Bad Movies, Worst Opinions podcast.